It is absolutely wonderful to see you all one more time in the parking lot. Let me tell you, this has been a blast over the last however many weeks we have done it now. And just want to let you know that we are working quickly to put together a plan of how we're going to get back together. And so just need you to know, for those in the parking lot now and for those who thought they might come next week, we're not going to do this next week. We're going to have an online worship service only. And then we're having a meeting this Thursday about when we're going to get back in the sanctuary. We need to have 1 week at least where we went in and just kind of did our thing and inside and remembered how to do that and schedule everything out. So just know that next week will be online only, and you're going to hear more information as this week goes along about plans going forward from there. So anyway, know that. The second thing is this. If you had the opportunity this morning to go to the website or the link we sent some people who requested it to be part of Seminary Sunday Mornings, if you did that, you know how blessed you were. You had a wonderful, wonderful time. If you didn't, you need to know how blessed you would be. So the seminary is putting on 8 weeks Bible study, Sunday school class from 9 to 10. And all you have to do is send me a link at jenkinspastor@gmail.com. I'll send that to you. And it is a wonderful, wonderful time. Dr. Mitzi Miner was on this morning explaining Mark, and it was absolutely brilliant and insightful again. So I hope that you'll do that. But those are the two things that are going on right now in the church. But just be listening for a lot of more information coming over the next few days about how we're going to get back in the sanctuary safely for those who choose to. Last point on that. We're going to be continuing to do the online. We're going to be continue streaming this. You're going to be able to hear that. In fact, I hadn't even thought about it till now. We may set up the transmitter too, so you can come in the parking lot if you want to. But just know that we're going to offer other opportunities to worship. So that's where we're at. And now we will turn to our worship of God, and I ask that you hear Psalm 8, the call to worship, with me. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, I thank you for those who have gathered here today who know that you are Lord. I thank you for those that have come here today that proclaim that you are God and Savior. And so I ask, Lord, that you bless us in our time, in the midst of a world struggling with some things, Lord. We ask that you give us wisdom and insight in how to live this life in your way and in your will. We want to do that, Lord, because we know that you are everything. If you made all those things and you made the path that we should walk by, there is no reason we shouldn't be on it walking other than the world sells us something different. And so we ask you, God, to teach us and lead us and guide us in your way and only your way so we can be followers of yours. For all those hurting in the world today, Lord, those in our church, those of our friends and our family, those that we don't know, those in all this world, and we ask, Lord, for blessings upon them so that we might walk together. We ask these things, Lord, in your name. And God's people said, amen, amen. James, Philip, thank you all again. If you all would lead us in song, I'd appreciate it.
A quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel always. Use words only when necessary." And this song that y'all know this song, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love," is the essence of that. That if we just do what Jesus commands and love others as we love ourselves, they'll know we're Christians. I saw a quote this week that said, "Be such a good Christian that it makes non-believers question why they don't believe." So think about that as we sing, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we We pray that all unity may one day be restored, and help all we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, from whom all good things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit that makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Yes, they will know. Amen, amen. One of the reasons, by the way, we're moving inside is because it's getting hot out here. And so I had to...
Amen.
Whew, Lord have mercy. So, but thank you all for continuing to be a part of this. I want to say, too, thank you for your continued support of this church. We are continuing to do things. Jackie, head of our outreach ministry, just yesterday called me and go, what do you think about me going to pick up some of these things for this particular group of people? And I just want to tell her thank you so much, because we have the ability to do that because of you all's giving. So we're continuing to reach out in the community, continuing to do things that we need to do. And I want to thank you for your support of the church. Our scripture this morning comes from Galatians 5. It's 16 through 23. You're probably familiar with some of this. I'll explain why I'm preaching on this as we get into the sermon. But Galatians 5:16-23 says this: Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So, here's the thing. I didn't know I was going to start a sermon series until just a couple of days ago. As I was preparing for this week, though, I was struck by an idea that I want to run with, and here it is. I want you to look over the next couple of months or so at specifically the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's what we just read. That's what we just read, was the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to look at them. I want us to know them. I don't want us to live these days we're in without knowing what it looks like to be spiritually fruitful. Now, last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the Sunday that we celebrate God's own Spirit coming into this world, a Spirit so heavy in His presence that when we breathe, we can't help to breathe it deep into our lungs every time we can take a breath. On Pentecost, we remember that when the Spirit came, it came like the sound of a rushing wind. We remember that it danced on the heads of every person in the room, and we remember all that to remind ourselves that that Spirit hasn't gone anywhere. When we're wrapped up in the Spirit, and I mean when the Spirit's moving, man, when we really get tuned into it, when we're breathing it in and out and in and out, it's like no other feeling I have ever known. When the Spirit moves, man, we smile, or we cry, or we laugh, or we serve, or we shout, or we dance, or we sit, or we contemplate, or we lift others up, or we do whatever we do it with such a fervor and strength because the wind of God is at our backs. And friends, you know as well as I do that when that happens, there ain't nothing like it. And that was last Sunday that we remember that the Spirit came into this world because God made it so. It's the way God wanted it to be. Now today, this day doesn't have a fancy name like Pentecost. This Sunday doesn't, and next Sunday doesn't either, and the next several Sundays don't. This is just summertime, and summertime doesn't get any fancy Christian holidays. But that doesn't mean the Spirit is not there with us. Amen? We celebrated it. It's coming last Sunday. But the promise is that it's with us every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even on Saturday nights too. The Spirit has been with us in some form for 2,000 years. That's the promise that we have, that God is with us. It's not just Jesus walking around. It's the Spirit of God that fills our lungs. That's God in our world. And our promise is that it's here day by day. Yeah, Brother Mike Bryan often talks about how the Spirit is left out sometimes. There's a lot of God talk. There's a lot of Jesus talk. But there's not much Spirit talked about, you know? But if you read Paul, and Paul never forgot about the Spirit. Paul recognized that the Spirit is our guide now. We try to do everything Jesus did. We pray to God, but Paul knew that when the Spirit came, it brought along everything we need to live in this world just as Jesus lived in this world. The Spirit is how we can pull it off because in the Spirit there is great power. Remember, it was what hovered over the waters at creation and out of the Spirit of God spoke, making all that there is. The Spirit creates, man. It produces fruit. And that's what we're going to talk about the next several weeks. We're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about this scripture and the gifts that Paul said would be given to us as the result of living a Spirit-filled life. So we're going to talk about love and joy and peace and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Because if those are the fruits, I want to make sure that I fertilize that vine. Amen. So today, that's right, yes. So today, we're going to talk about love. Love is a gift of God. I believe God made love no different than the heavens and the earth. It was called good when it was made because it's what this whole thing is built on. Now, to get where we need to go today, we need to know that Paul put these spiritual gifts in opposition to some other things. We read them a moment ago. Everything from certain inappropriate behaviors to ways of being, like living in factions through jealousy and envy. And Paul said that those ways of living tend to devour one another. Think of those other ways. Choose the tawdry ones if you like. Isn't the epitome of unchristian behavior that we use one another for our own gain? Loving ourselves more than we love other people? Isn't the problem with certain reckless behaviors is that we treat other people poorly when we participate in those things? Like what about envy? Envy's about devouring someone else to get what you want. That's what the evil one wants us to do, to have us devour one another by not loving others as much as we love ourselves. The question like this might help it make sense. What are we capable of doing to each other when we want the worst for each other? But by contrast, Paul says there are some fruits of the Spirit that are different than those things that cause us to devour each other. There are some things that the Spirit brings that are for the betterment of everyone. They don't cause us to devour. They cause us, all of us, every single one of us, to flourish if we do them right. And this week, what causes us all to flourish is love. We know we talk about a lot of things that we love. Y'all know I love my Kentucky Wildcats. I love pizza. Some of y'all have some misplaced love about pizza, Teresa Franciscan, and y'all put pineapples on your pizza. We love our hobbies. We love our jobs. And we can go deeper than that too. We tell our friends that we love them maybe. You know, we love our friends. We know our friends. We've been through some things with our friends, and we have a love for them because that's what we do with people that we've been through some things with. You love those kind of folks, you know? We love our family. Oh, Lord, I love my family. We even love the family members that drive us crazy, and don't act like y'all don't have some family members that drive y'all crazy either. But the love remains there. We love our church. We love our people. We love our city, maybe. I see 37135 bumper stickers and Nolensville Knights decals all over the place, state, country. We love these things. These are things that we've decided to love because we have deemed them lovable. They're familiar to us. We call them good, and so they receive our love. And that's good. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If you tell me not to love my family, I'll tell you to go somewhere else with that, you know? But if our love ends there with those that we choose to love, then we have a problem. If we give our love only to those people and those things that we choose to love, we have an issue because then we've become the decider. We become the judge on who is lovable and what is not. And that's a problem because we don't judge those things too good. We call this thing lovable over here, but that thing over there, well, God love them, bless their hearts. It's almost as if we've been fooled to think that love comes in measurable amounts. Like you can put it on a scale and weigh it. I have a pound of love, but if I give an ounce here and an ounce there, then there's not an ounce for those folks over there. And suddenly we wonder. I don't know what we wonder. Suddenly we wonder if we have to take some love from here, if we're going to put that love over there too. Do I have to love this less if I'm going to love that more? And that's a bad way of going about love. It gets tricky when you do that. And that's what makes it so hard to love those things that we're not supposed to love. We're not told by the world to love our enemy, are we? No. I have to love my friends because I can't love them and my foes both. Tell me what our movies and our TV stories and our culture, tell me what they say about our enemies. Maybe you want to comment below online if while you're watching and tell me what the world says about loving those that are not lovable. Does the world say pray for them? Does the world say feed them? No, it's Jesus Christ that says that. Let me say it out loud and see if somebody else thinks it sounds familiar. There are some folks in my life that I choose not to love. Preacher's not going to lie right now. I got some people that I'm okay with not loving. I got groups. I got notions. That's all I'm going to say because we all need to think about our own world. What do we think when we think of loving those that we do not want to love? Oh, this loving business, y'all, it ain't for the faint of heart. Don't think it is. Paul said that when the Spirit of God showed up in this world, that something happened, man. Something happened so that followers of a way would produce a different kind of fruit, which is a different kind of love. This kind of love would be like the thing that God's people would be known by. They are Christians by their love. Not anything else, just love. That's how Christians will be known. If they love their God and if they love everybody else as much as they love themselves, man, then you'll know there's some Jesus freaks. The Spirit brought a different kind of love than the world. It's a kind that just loves. Now, let me say this too. There are some times Jesus showed some signs of him that didn't look like he was loving people too much. I don't know that the people he called hypocrite felt like they were being loved. When he called someone a brood of vipers, I don't think somebody said, well, Jesus sure loves me right now. when he told some Pharisees that they were sending people straight to hell by the way they were teaching them. I don't think the Pharisees felt the love, but God is love, right? What's the hitch here? See, the world's love has been manipulated through the years and turned into an emotion. Blame Hallmark for that. Love has become a thing we have in our possession that we can just dole out as we choose. But y'all, I'm here today to say that that's not the love Paul was talking about. That's favoritism. That's the kind of love that says you're my favorite so you can have an ounce of love. But what God brought, what Jesus brought, and what the fruit of the Spirit is a very different kind of love. It's not an emotion. The love Paul's talking about is a state of being. You can't write it on a card. You can't give it in a gift. It's the standard by which you live your life. And sometimes I guess that love means Jesus getting on some folks so other folks can feel the love that they should have been feeling in the first place. I don't know. Love is the air we breathe. It's the blood that pumps through our veins. It's who we are because to be anything else is to not be how God made us to be. Paul said love. That's what feeds the world when we live in the Spirit, just love. Now, Paul meant a certain kind of love. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's make sure we got our definition right in this. Paul's love isn't some mushy feeling you get for somebody. It's not some proud feeling you own. Paul's love that we live in as a fruit of the Spirit is a sense of goodwill for all of creation. It's the sense that when you live your life, you live it first and foremost in a way that all you desire and all you want is for people to find goodness in creation too. It's the sense that no matter where you look, all you want is for people to experience the world that God called good the moment it was spoken into existence. It's the feeling we get when we see a turtle crossing the road and we fight for a minute about going back and realize we got to go back and rescue that turtle. It's the feeling that we have that I want in this world for everyone to have the same opportunities that we've had or our children have had or our grandchildren have had. It's the plea that when one person doesn't have it, then we all don't because everyone is important as the next. I love you. You are as important as I am. Love your neighbor as much as yourself. That's love. It's the state we live in that we just want goodness for people, man. That's it. Just goodness. And when people are experiencing good, oh man, y'all, I mean real good, the kind of good that doesn't matter who experiences, when we humans have opportunities to be included in the world's goodness, when we have the opportunities for education and jobs and fulfillment in our lives, when we see that people are whole, man, that love feels good, doesn't it? When someone you know succeeds in something or they graduate in something, you feel amazing about them, don't you? And the love just bubbles out. But that love, man, sometimes it can hurt too. Because sometimes the world's way wins a battle. And somebody doesn't have a chance. And it hurts deep because we love. What's it mean to love others as much as we love ourselves? What's it mean for that to be a fruit? It means living as if every other person is as important as we are, and especially those in the world that aren't important at all. And that's hard. That's hard. It's exhausting. And y'all, let me tell you, it's worth every second of it. The word agape, which Paul used for love, actually comes from another word. And that word was used to describe the meal that Christians, the early Christians, would eat before they had communion. What they do back then is that all the Christians in the community, all the ones that had stuff, all the ones that didn't, those that were honored, those that weren't, all the popular ones, all the unpopular ones, they'd all get together and they'd sit down at the same table and they'd share a meal that they all put together. They'd make themselves equal, and then, only then would they share in communion together when they were done. And they do it through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ because they loved each other, man. They praised God, man. They welcomed everybody to the table. That's the word agape. That's what is love. His love makes me think of what Jesus said about those 100 sheep he said talked about one time. He said 99 of them were safe and one went missing. And the shepherd left the 99 and went and found the one that got separated and returned it to the green grass and the still waters, because the flock was not complete without every last one of them. It reminds me of the demon-possessed man that Jesus would not leave shackled. It reminds me of the paralyzed man, the bleeding woman, the rebuke of the Pharisees every time they tried to prevent him from doing something else that was loving and good. Because see, here's the thing about the fruit of the Spirit called love. It's not divisible. You can't give an ounce here and not give it to everybody. The moment that you try to separate out love, it mists away and it is no longer with us at all. That's love, man, real love. Not the kind that we can decide to give, but the kind we have to give because we're so full of the Spirit, we can't help but do it. Now, y'all gonna find in a second, if y'all go online, that there's a sheet, and if you want one afterwards, I'm gonna hand it out as you pass by. That's probably not the best COVID distancing, so if you don't want to take it out of my hands, you can look for it online, or I can mail you one if you want to do that. Let me know that too. But there's a sheet, and I want you to look at it because I want it for us to discuss what love means this week. Take a look at it. Allow yourself to contemplate what I've provided to you. Write your answers out on it. Think them through. Yeah, we're given enough mindless tasks in this world. We got too many TVs to watch already, so take this task and see if you can develop your faith out of it. And the questions are going to be sort of like this. Where do we love? Who do we love? How do we love? How good does it feel to love? How wonderful is it to truly love everything deeply and without reservation? But also questions like this. Where is it hard to love? Why is it hard to love? How can we live in love anyway? What happens to the world when we don't love? What happens to us when we don't love? Do we risk missing that fruit of the Spirit that's so sweet that it runs down the sides of your mouth and gathers and pools at your feet? Would we ever want to miss that once in our entire lives if we don't have to? No, because we know how good it can be when the kingdom works like God said it ought to work. Love our God and love everyone as much as we love ourselves. It's the cornerstone, man. It's the beginning. It's step one. And so I pray for us all. That we all love this kind of, we find this kind of love and we do it passionately. The real love, the one that makes sure that everyone that we find is a part of our family and no one is left out. When we love them like that, man, when we've loved like that, we've really loved and we'll be eating the fruit of the Spirit of God. Church, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm going to miss seeing you next week in the parking lot. I'm going to see you online. Or we'll figure something out. But just know we're going to get back together and we're going to worship this God of love together very soon. And I can't wait to see you then. God bless each and every one of you. And all of God's people said. And Philip is not upset at all about having to go back inside to the air conditioning. I'll tell you that too.
How y'all doing? It's warm, isn't it? The book of Philippians tells us that he humbled himself and became obedient to death. In a time when it's difficult to find answers to questions that we have, when it seems like what is being asked of us is challenging, what is asked of us calls for something within us that we don't know that we have. We have to think about what Jesus paid for us and how he did it. This is an old song. You'll know it once I start. But remember that we have been offered salvation and a way to follow in the path, the truth, and the life. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died, pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay.
Suspicion that would get a honk or two. That's amazing, man. Thank you. I want to share with you a few prayer requests that have come in. The first one is Reverend Lisa Cook. You may know Reverend Cook from her work with Sacred Spark Ministries. It's a homeless ministry in Nashville. She is, we believe, she hasn't got the results back, but she believes she has COVID. She ran about 7 days, 6 days, something like that, of 102, 103 temperature. Yesterday she was feeling a little bit better, but you know, this is a long, long way for some of these folks that had COVID. So keep Reverend Lisa Cook in your prayers. Mike Shaw has cancer. Karen Mabry's father needs prayers. Steve Alamore running a fever this morning. We're praying for Steve to get better. He's a bedrock of this church, and we're praying for him to get better soon. Linda Jones, I believe this was listed by Steve and Joyce. I'm not sure, but I think it was. Linda Jones, in the last 5 months, Linda Jones has lost her husband, her mother, her brother-in-law, and now has shingles in 5 months. And so I'm not sure who Linda is. Maybe I should, but if you know Linda Jones, please keep her in your prayers. Regardless, if you do, keep her in your prayers. Melanie Soyson, David Morton, Phyllis Smith, that's Julie Bomar's mother. Need to keep her in our prayers. Kim and Rain. Sharon Gardner went to ER last night and has Bell's palsy. And we're praying for Sharon, another bedrock of this church. The family of Sean Rudolph, Judy Judkins, we need to be in prayer for, and Bill Rowland definitely need to be in prayer for. So continue lifting those folks up in your prayers. Send them cards, send them love, and however you can. See if they need anything, but we'll stick with them and be in prayer for them. And let's have one more prayer together, please. Lord, we ask that you send us out from this place. Allow whatever means that you find right, whether it's the scripture we read today, whether it's the handout that's provided online, whether it's an interaction with somebody, whether it's something we're watching on the TV, whether we do something in your name and it comes through that way. Whatever it is, Lord, teach us this week how to love even more than we do now. We ask these things, Lord, because we know that this world desperately needs love. Our lives need love. And we ask these things, Lord, because we know you're the author of love. When you sent the Spirit, it brought love with it. And so we ask and we say thank you for being a God of love who will do exactly that and send us into this world, loving everybody that we can find. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the technology and for the people that have allowed this parking lot thing to happen the last couple of 3 months. And we ask for your blessings as we continue trying to transition back into a room together so we can lift up God, your name. Lord, we say these things in your name. And God's people said, go in joy, go in love, go in peace, go in grace, and go in mercy, and go learn about some love. Y'all take care. I love you.